The following programming is sponsored by Doreen Taylor Music, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
What's going on?
Hey, USA, what is going on? Welcome to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, setting the scene every week to help you find out what's happening in music, TV, movies, sports, the arts, and everything in between. We're proud to be syndicated on stations coast to coast and originating right here in the city of brotherly love on Philadelphia's number one talk radio station, Talk 860 WWDB. Get insider access and go behind the scene on our show's official website, thescenewithdoreen.com, and catch us every single week on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash, available in every major city in the U.S. And I want to give a big boo and happy Halloween because we're getting there. We're almost there to my incredible producer, Matt Mynarek. Matt, nice costume.
Yeah, thanks. My Eagles hoodie.
Yeah, that's.
I'm going as an Eagles fan.
You're going as boy. Is that a departure from your normal self? I have no idea.
Yeah, sometimes it's a Sixers fan. I mean, yeah,
Flyers
it just depends
fan.
On what day. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you gonna go as a Bills fan? You have to have pride in your team, no matter what.
I do, but it's hard for me to, you know, boldly say, yes, I'm excited, because every single week they give me something to be mad about. And yeah.
Well, they just recently traded for a pretty good wide receiver.
Well, we'll hope, you know, something, you know, but then Josh Allen's getting hit with, you know, concussion protocols and not doing it the right way, giving them smelling salts on the sidelines. I don't know what's going on over there, but.
Just Buffalo being Buffalo, right?
It's Buffalo. Nothing ever works well for Buffalo. But no. I love my Buffalo Bills. I love my hometown of Buffalo, and I love my Buffalo wings. But we don't call them Buffalo wings. We just call them chicken wings. We take the Buffalo out.
Yeah, that's kind of like, do people in China call Chinese food Chinese food? They just call
it
food.
I wouldn't think so. I would think it would just be food. And that, it's not even that. It's oof or something. I don't know how you say it, or like moosh or something. I don't know what the translation of Chinese food. You'll have to put that in and post and give us the translation. The translation of Chinese for food is...
食物.
There we go.
There we go. So, magic of post-editing. But, yeah, it's Halloween. We're ramping up. You got all your... You stocked with all your candy to give out to the little kiddies?
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting ready to get some candy corn.
Oh,
delicious
no.
Candy corn.
It's National Candy Corn Day. It isn't.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
It should be.
We do a lot of the national days. There probably is a National Candy Corn Day.
Yeah.
But I don't support that day.
Why not?
I hate candy corn.
What is wrong with it? Well, why do... There's so many people that don't like it. What is wrong with it?
Because it doesn't taste good.
Yes, it does.
No. It's like, I don't mind, like, you know, Cadbury cream egg on, like,
oh my,
you know.
God.
That I'll take.
Those are delicious.
See,
disgusting.
I'll take those, but I won't do a peep. I'm not going to do candy corn. There's like a certain flavor, you know, kind of spectrum I like to
You'll
go
eat
on.
A Cadbury cream egg, but not candy
I gotta
corn.
I got to be honest. I used to. I don't know if I'd have it now.
They're
if it
nasty.
Would be good. It's been a long time. So probably if I had it now, it's like things I liked when I was like 5. I probably would not like now.
Probably,
I'm going to have to try to break one out maybe in Easter this year.
Break out some candy corn while you're at it.
No, that one is not going to win me over. It's just not going to do it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put out a PSA right now. People don't give out candy corn. Nobody wants it. There may be 2 kids in your entire block.
Nobody
that
gives
want
it out
that.
Because they should eat it themselves.
Well, it's weird too because candy corn, when I used to go trick-or-treating, they would just put their hand in the bag and give you like individual gross
what?
Little candy. They weren't wrapped. It was so gross. And that maybe that's why I got.
They were just like,
yes,
like
they would give you like
hands just,
yes, like a handful of 5-10 candy corn. And I'm like, I'm not eating that. I don't know where your hand's been.
I don't know what the hell's up with you Buffalo people.
That's what I'm saying. So see, that's probably why I won't do the candy corn. I associate that with like a germaphobe thing. Like, ew.
Well, that makes sense. Well, you should get some now and then.
In
the
a
only hands
place.
That eat it are yours, yeah.
Do they give you like little teeny, like wrapped, like, you know, 10
sure.
individual, like they do a little individual Snickers thing? Or
I'm sure they do.
I don't know. But PSA to everyone out there, if you're putting your dirty hands in a bag and handing them 10 pieces of candy corn, you're going to get TP.
Any kind of candy.
Anything. You shouldn't have to
that's
put
not
your
wrapped.
Hands. You're not. And what about those people that give like a penny? They used to throw change in your thing, like, you know, 5 cents or something.
Yeah, those are the rich people that do that. Like near where I grew up. There was this big mansion somewhere, and they gave us apples. But near my dad's house, there was this house that was probably the size of a closet, and they gave out $1 bills.
Yeah, see, that's good. With inflation now, that's like 10 bucks, man. That's good.
Well, now, yeah, this was like
you're like 80 years old, Matt. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be like $1 million by
now.
No, but that's cool. I like that. I mean, it's not a really good imagination, but at the same time, I'll take the cash. I really will.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody around the corner that would work. I told you. I think I said this once with a potato chip company, and they would hand out the little individual bags of potato chips. That was cool. I like them.
Yeah, that's a good treat.
Because I'm a savory girl. I'm not a sweet girl. I'm more savory. I want the salty stuff more than I want, like, you know.
What about together? Like you get the cheddar and caramel popcorn together?
Some combinations are good. I was at a local restaurant right around the corner here, and they had ice cream with caviar on it. And that was interesting. Salty, really ultra salty eggs on this ice cream that was like a vanilla caramel kind of whatever. And it was surprisingly appetizing. It was good.
I can't afford to go to those bougie places like you that even serve caviar.
I didn't pay. I went as a guest. I don't pay.
Still bougie.
Not me. If I had to pay, I'm going to the drive-thru and getting a Frosty at Wendy's. Nothing wrong. No shade on you. Oh, that's good, man. That's your sweet and that's your savory.
There you go. Salt, that's a good combo.
Gotta tell you, that is like ambrosia. You eat that, that is like heavenly.
Ambrosia is good too. That's some marshmallows with the pineapples and the mandarin oranges and coconut.
See?
Delicious.
I'm getting hungry. I think we need to stop this because I'm going to gain like 500 pounds if we don't. So maybe we should just get to the amazing country show we got. We got bluegrass coming. We got country music coming. We're doing a whole country yeehaw show today.
All right. Let's go.
All right. My first guest today on The Scene with Doreen has been dubbed the Queen of Bluegrass. Multi-award-winning singer and multi-instrumentalist, Rhonda Vincent has been hailed a firecracker of talent, leading one of the most popular bands in any genre of music. From her humble beginnings performing in her family's band to winning the 2017 Grammy for Best Bluegrass Album, the all-American bluegrass girl, Rhonda Vincent's powerful vocal style transcends the boundaries of multiple styles of music. Take a listen.
To be an all-American bluegrass girl who's singing here tonight. Bill might be from Kentucky, Jimmy from Tennessee. Though I might be from Missouri, I'm as bluegrass as can be. If you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him, then you don't love your neighbor and you don't love God. Another heartbreaker's alibi. It's another cold-hearted, dirty line. There'll be a long trail of tears left behind. Been open, now she's the one who's blind. Yes, my eyes have been open, now she's the one who's blind.
Woo! Grand Ole Opry inductee. Rhonda Vincent has worked with just about every star in the country music world, appearing on recordings by Dolly Parton, Alan Jackson, Tanya Tucker, and Faith Hill, just to name a few. Her latest album, Destinations and Fun Places, promises to take every listener on a journey through different cities, states, and other places of interest around the country. Well, today on The Scene with Doreen, I promise to take every one of my listeners on a journey into the life of the powerhouse bluegrass queen, Rhonda Vincent. So let's get to it and welcome her to the show. Hi, Rhonda, what's going on?
Wow, what an introduction. Man, I feel like I've just took a dance on memory lane there, a walk on memory lane. I love that. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, you are the undisputed queen of bluegrass music. And I can honestly say this is the first time I have had bluegrass royalty on my show.
Ooh.
Yes, I feel
I'm
like
to be here.
I need to roll out the red carpet for you. I mean, that's quite an honor.
Man. I'm sitting on it right now. Thank you so much.
What an honor, though, to be called that. I mean, and that's not like just something you made up. That's like, you know, that's your term.
Well, it was in the Wall Street Journal. It was 2000 and my first album on Rounder Records. And I was amazed. I didn't know that they did music reviews, and they reviewed the album, and they said Rhonda Vincent, the new queen of bluegrass. These guys in suits started coming after work to our shows because it was their first introduction to bluegrass music. And anyway, that the queen of bluegrass just kind of, it's been a fun title to have. And it was a few years later up in Iowa, they had a special event, and I was officially crowned. I even have a crown. I wish I had it in my hand.
I was just going to ask you. I was going to ask if you have like a tiara or a crown. See?
They officially crowned me there. They said, you know what? You're called the new queen of bluegrass, but you haven't officially been crowned. And so they did that. They had a beautiful ceremony and a very nice. And I have an absolutely beautiful tiara. I haven't worn it very often, but we actually played in a castle in Kentucky.
Ooh.
And they requested, they said, you're going to play in the castle and we would like you to perform in I wore a beautiful, huge gown, a huge flowing gown. And I wore the tiara, and so fun to get to do that occasionally.
It's every girl's dream, I gotta say.
Yes.
Every girl wants a tiara. I don't care what they say. We all want that. It's like, you know, that moment. Well, princess, but better to be the queen. Just saying.
Ooh, yes, yes. Yeah. No, it is. It's really fun.
Yes. Well, I find it interesting that while you are the queen of a notoriously Southern musical genre, you don't have much of an accent.
Well, I'm actually from Northern Missouri.
Yes, so. You are, but you don't have that one either. You're pretty neutral.
I am. Yes, I am.
Did you work on that? Did you have to were you just never really had an accent?
I guess what you see is what you get.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I didn't really think about it. And I guess until I hear some other folks, like my bass player, Mickey, he is from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Oh, that's a big one.
And he seriously has an accent. But everywhere we go, people will go, you're not from, especially if we go up north, and they'll go, you're not from around here, are you? It's like, how could you tell?
That's true. Well, you know, a lot of my guests have grown up in a musical family, but you really grew up in a musical family. Your early years were like the Von Trapp family in Sound of Music.
I started singing when I was 3. When I was 5, we had a radio show, a TV show, made our first recording. So I literally grew up on the job training because we were always performing. 5 generations of my family that were performing. So I just kind of jumped on the, you know, whatever instrument was left, that's what I got, and then started singing right away. And I'm thrilled to say that the 6th generation continues. My daughter, Sally, she's making history as the first female lead of the United States Navy band Country Current. They have this premier country bluegrass band called Country Current.
Wow.
And so if you see them, you're going to probably see my daughter leading that along with Kayla Cox, and very proud of her. So 6 generations now. And now I have, and she just had our first, well, I have my 3rd grandchild, but our first granddaughter. So I have 2 grandsons by Tinsel and Brent. And then, first granddaughter with Sally and Matthew. So I think the musical tradition is going to continue.
Oh, well, you have so many amazing things happening. Congratulations on all of that. I mean, that's incredible. Just the grandbaby alone, the granddaughter alone, and really just having that wonderful passing down the musical genes. And I know you used to drive in the car and you would sing with your dad.
Oh, well, he would pick me up from school every day and we would play till dinner. After dinner, friends would come over. And I know it sounds really great because there was a music party at our house every night.
Oh, that's awesome.
Paul Van Meter, Carl Brandeiser, you know, there was the same folks that usually came. But if somebody was new to town, I mean, we're in a tiny town that basically the streets would roll up probably at 2 p.m. instead of 5 p.m. like normal places. But it was population, and it still is, I think, around 350, 400 people. Not that many people around. So if anybody was traveling through the area, they would say, you know, what's really going on? And they would say, the Vincent family they've got music at their house. So people would just swing by random if they were traveling through or they're new to the area and know that we had music at our house every night, which was great. I thought you were at your house doing the same thing until I got to be a teenager and I found out that Tommy Parsons and Barb Wheeler were at the skating rink. I was stuck at home playing music, you know. Yeah.
It's always greener. The grass is always greener.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm so thankful now. I'm so thrilled that my mom and dad prepared me for what I do, and I'm really grateful.
Oh, you have so much to be grateful for. And really, you're extremely talented multi-instrumentalist. But I would have to say that your bread and butter is the mandolin. And you play it like no one else. So at
I started playing eight, right? When I was 8 years old. What's that?
It was 8 years old. And yes. Is that the first instrument you just decided you wanted to play? Or was that the one you just kind of landed on after trying some others?
Oh, no, no. My dad got me a snare drum when I was six. So I was a snare drum and a set of brushes. So I was the drummer, so to speak, in the Sally Mountain. Our family and our TV show was called the Sally Mountain Show instead of the Vincent family. So mm-hmm. I was a drummer. At 8 years old, we were playing at a place in Marceline, Missouri. And here's trivia for you. There's a very, very famous person, and that is their boyhood home, is Marceline, Missouri. Mm. And that guy is Walt Disney. And so wow. In that place, they had this country music show. And it was simple economics. I mean, there was a huge cast of musicians, and their wives might sing, but they didn't play an instrument. My mom played upright bass, and my dad played all the different instruments. But I was just singing. Well, the manager, the guy who owned it, he said, whoever doesn't play an instrument doesn't get paid. You can sing, but you're not going to. But you have to play an instrument to get paid. And he paid each one of the musicians $10. That's what they got per night.
Wow.
So my dad said, here's the mandolin, here's G, C, and D, and you're going to be playing this for 2.5 hours every Saturday night so we could get the... I don't think I saw that $10 either, but I'm pretty sure dad did.
Oh, I take offense to that. As a singer back in my former life, we are just as much of a musician as someone who picks up an instrument. That's our instrument, is the voice. And you know what? I'm like, no, wait a minute. Just because you don't play the flute, you should be paid too. Singers should be paid.
Yeah, no, that's what he did. And I'm sure he cut his costs like that.
Well, anyway, they can cut costs. That's the music industry for you. And I'm sure a lot of things happen like that.
Well, yeah, that's a business. Yeah, it's just a business.
It is.
But I don't think we ever did anything by just happenstance. Like, we played music. We were performers. My mother taught me, like I majored in accounting in college, but I got to watch my mother do our finances, because here we are. We're in it. Like, we started out in a station wagon, and then a pickup with a camper over the top. And then we got our first pool type camper. You know, we didn't go just straight into a bus, but every show or every weekend, she would take the receipts from our expenses and whatever the money that we got. And she wrote that all down. And like, this is what we made. This is what we spent. This is how much that we, this is our take home pay. And you know, this is what we paid for, or all of our expenses. So I got to watch the economics early on, and she's what a great teacher to get to see that. And I still do that. I apply that each weekend. It's like, okay, I made this. I pay the band this. Our bus just broke down. That's going to be a major expense coming out. So anyway, I'm just thankful. They taught me a lot of great lessons, but there was never, people say, how did you choose bluegrass, or how did you choose music? There was no choosing. It's just what we did. And it evolved into the career that I have now, and just really grateful.
Uh-huh. And in the world of country and bluegrass music, while there are some incredible female performers, it has been historically a male-dominated industry. How have you navigated through that during your, I mean, it's like a 50-plus year career now. I mean, you've been doing this successfully. So how have you navigated that?
Well, I think that, once again, my dad, he always said, don't let anyone tell you that you can't do something. Mm. You just figure out how do I need to do this? And I think too, now I see some women say that, you know, you should hire me just because I'm a woman.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
No,
I agree.
I have to perfect my skill set. I have to perfect my craft. I have to be able to, you know, it's whatever the job is, I have to be able to have the skills to do that. Right. And so I see a lot of people that don't want to do that. They want to cry, oh, I'm a woman and you didn't hire me. No, it's like, let's go to work, ladies. Let's get our skills set up, and we can do this job just as good. And I think that a lot of it is that finding, I've kind of found a niche when I signed with Rounder. One of the owners, Ken Irwin, he said, listen, there's no females out here doing hard driving in your face bluegrass. Mm-hmm. And he said, you can fill that void. And he really did guide me to do that, and to do really hard driving bluegrass. I do the country ballads and the other things too, but that is kind of the niche that I think that I filled, and that I love. That's what I love. Anyway, it's what we love to do. We, our favorite kind of music, playing festivals. That's, you know, that just fills our heart with joy to get to do that.
And boy, did you ever fill that void. And I am chatting with the undisputed queen of bluegrass music, multi-instrumentalist and singer, Rhonda Vincent. When we come back, I chat with the Grammy Award award-winning Grand Ole Opry member about her very special connection with one of the biggest stars in the world. Stick around. We'll be right back.
No more mold. No more damage. No more outdated old bathroom. No more slipping and hurting. No more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-827-4067. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-827-4067. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-827-4067. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-827-4067. 800-827-4067.
I used to sing a lot with my sisters, and of course she sings with her family as well. And being country people and really feeling that music down really in the gut, not just something you learn, you've lived that music, you love that music, there's something that comes from the soul. You go to little places.
Try to make a difference in this world we're going through. Who will do it? Who will do it? Who will do it? If we know.
We're singing together, I get so excited. Said, bring your mandolin. I want you to impress them with what you can do. She got in there and she was knocking their socks off. Even I was like taken aback because they say she was just killing it in there, and I was so proud. I was like, that's my girl.
Rhonda, the first time I heard her, she played everything. And I remember sitting there with my mouth open watching her play, and to hear Dolly say that we were all in the same phrase is kind of a big deal for me.
Oh, yes. Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor. And coming out of break, you heard country music greats Alison Krauss and Dolly Parton talking about my guest today, the queen of bluegrass music, Grand Ole Opry member Rhonda Vincent, in a behind-the-scenes CMT special. Rhonda, you've worked with so many incredible artists like Faith Hill, Trisha Yearwood, Tanya Tucker. I got to get the northerner out of me. But you have a very special bond with the one and only Dolly Parton, who you heard in there. You've collaborated many times together. What was that first meeting with Dolly like?
Well, I am in Greentop, Missouri, very top of Missouri, tiny town. And this is back when we had the boxes that I can't even remember, think of what you call them, you know, where we got our voicemail.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
not on the phone anymore.
Oh, I came back answering machine.
Answering, yes.
There it is.
Look at that. Yes, our answering machine. The red light was blinking. You can see this red light blinking. I came home. It was probably 4:30 in the afternoon. I pushed the button and it said, "Hi, this is Dolly Parton. And I want you to come to Nashville and sing with me."
Oh, no.
And she was in the studio. I think it was 1992. She was working on Slow Dancing with the Moon, that project. Mm-hmm. And Carl Jackson sang on a song. And she said, "Carl, who should we get to sing on this?" He said, "Rhonda Vincent, and she'll be in town tomorrow." Actually, it was supposed to be the day after that. But when Dolly Parton calls you, anyway, I called the number back. I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, it's like, right, this is Dolly. It seriously was Dolly. And I found myself in Nashville the very next day. My brother and I got in the car at probably 5 or 6 o'clock, drove all night. And at 10 o'clock the next morning, I was in the studio with Dolly Parton. And that was my first meeting with her, which turned into being a wonderful friendship. I've worked with her on many projects. She's worked on many of mine. She's singing on our new project, Destinations and Fun Places.
Yes, she is.
And is a dear friend. Mm-hmm. And just to show you what, I mean, she does so many amazing things and helps people all the time. You see a lot of that, but there's a lot that you don't see. Mm-hmm. And in 2005, I had a life-threatening illness, and I didn't expect to be talking to you right now.
I read about that, and I'm glad you are.
Thank you. When I got out of the hospital, Dolly was standing in my living room in Greentop, and she said, "I had to come and make sure you were okay myself." Mm-hmm. And I just started crying. I mean, I could not believe that she traveled 550 miles to come see me, to stand in my living room, met neighbors and my parents and my entire family. She spent the day there, the entire day with us. In fact, she drove by the Greentop sign. Judy, her best pal, was with her. And we were driving down the road and she said, "Pull over, pull over." And it was the Greentop sign. She gets out and Judy had not a, there was no digital camera. They didn't have one. She was using a little Instamatic camera. Mm-hmm. And Judy took a picture of her by the green top sign. People are talking, starting to go back to the schools and say, I think I saw Dolly Parton by the green top sign. And they're like, no way. Dolly Parton wouldn't be in Green Top, Missouri.
Oh, yes,
sure
she
enough,
was.
And anyway, I can't say enough great things about Dolly and how wonderful that she is. And I love her so much, and she's helped me so much, and love every time I get to sing or perform or see her. What? She's a special lady.
She really
and people
is.
Say,
really
is she is. Really, you know, does she, is she really what she seems? She is that and more.
Mm. And what's it like working with her musically on a project? Well, I mean, what's your biggest takeaway from your collaborations, your musical time spent together?
Well, I mean, you get in the studio with her, just like I was playing mandolin. As I said, she loves my mandolin playing. So I played on that. The song that you played was from the movie Dumplin'.
Yes.
And I had no idea. We recorded it, but I had no idea it was going to end up in a movie. So if you watch the movie Dumplin', about 45 minutes in, Allison and I are singing with Dolly and I'm playing mandolin. I'm thinking, I think that's the first movie I actually was like, I'm not only singing in this movie, but I'm playing mandolin. It's like, that's pretty cool. One of the most unnerving times for me was they called and said, we want you to be, me and my band, to be in Dollywood on a certain day. Mm. And you said, you're going to be backing up Dolly. So we get there, and we're literally about to walk on stage. It was a press conference in the Celebrity Theater at Dollywood. And I'm looking at her, and we're the band, we're ready. Cause they said, we're going to do Jolene. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, this is great. You know, cause we recorded it. So we know it, we should know it well.
Right.
And I said, okay, you know, I'll sing harmony with you. She goes, oh no. She says, you're going to sing it, and I'm going to sing harmony with you.
Oh, wow. Surprise.
We are almost nose to nose singing this. All I can think of is like, don't forget the words. Don't forget the words. It's like Dolly is right in my face singing this with me. And she's singing the harmony with me. It was pretty crazy.
Wow. What a moment. Oh, that's spectacular. And everyone, you're listening to The Scene with Doreen. I have been talking with Grammy Award winner, the winner of an unprecedented 7 Female Vocalist of the Year Awards from the International Bluegrass Music Association, Rhonda Vincent. When we come back, we're going to talk about her newest album featuring a who's who list of country's music stars. Stay tuned.
Choosing the right insurance company can be complex and confusing. At Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group, we don't just sell you an insurance policy, we sell you a lifetime of peace of mind, service, and satisfaction. A second generation, family-owned and operated business in South Jersey, we're committed to protecting you and your family. With over 2,000 clients in the tri-state area, we are your local trusted insurance experts specializing in business, life and health, and personal insurance. Contact Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group today to learn how we can get started on your insurance journey together. Visit www.log-insurance.com or call 856-627-2600.
Country road, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia. Virginia,
West Virginia,
Mountain Mama,
take me home,
country road.
Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, and coming out of break, you heard a snippet of Rhonda Vincent's new album, Destinations and Fun Places. That was her incredible cover of the tune Take Me Home, Country Roads, featuring superstar country singers Cody Johnson and, of course, the great Dolly Parton. Rhonda, congrats on the new album, Destinations and Fun Places. What a great collection of songs and an even greater lineup of guests that you have teaming up with you.
I was so thrilled, and I can't believe we got all of these people on one project. I should have spaced that out, maybe, huh?
It took you several years, though. This wasn't just like a, you know, we get into the studio and in a month you pop it out. This took several years to develop, didn't it?
It did, you know, working on it. And then, you know, you get one phase done, like all of the violins on that song on Country Roads, my fiddle player, he arranged these strings. And so I haven't in years played fiddle, violin on a project, maybe never on my own. So he really has inspired me to get to play it. There's lots of twin fiddles throughout this project, and that one in particular, and we get to do that on stage. But to also have Alison Krauss and I sing as over 7-minute version of Wagon Wheel.
Yes, you
and
do.
We recorded this track several years ago, and come to find out, 2024 is the 20th anniversary of that song.
Yes, the Bob Dylan, right? The Bob Dylan version.
Yes, Bob Dylan and Ketch Secor from Old Crow Medicine Show. Mm-hmm. He wrote the lyrics to it. So Allison and I sing kind of a duet on that song. And then we have Sonia Isaac sings on 9 to 5 because, you know, work is a destination. All of the songs correlate to destinations. And we have Margaritaville because we turned it into an anthem for women. So, you know, go women.
Woohoo! Amen.
And it features Jeannie Seely, my Opry sister, and Trisha Yearwood, my Opry sister, on that. Mm-hmm. Jeannie Seely is the one who inspired the project. She wrote a song for me. It has two original songs. The rest are probably classics that you already know. But she wrote a song for me called I Miss Missouri. And that's what got me thinking. It's like Missouri, my home state, maybe we do songs about destinations, made a list of over 100 songs and ended up, you know, making this collection of them. And then, yeah. So Country Roads, I sang on Cody Johnson, and he's probably the hottest male artist in country music
these days. Oh, he is. Everybody
so
knows.
I sang on his project. I sing on his project, and I thought, I wonder if he would sing on mine. And he did. And then I said, Cody, would you mind if I invited Dolly to sing on it? And can you, if you just listen to the things that she just did, she added her own.
Yes,
just
very
own
Dolly.
Special.
Very Dolly.
Yeah, it's amazing the things that she did. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Imagine asking someone, do you really think you'd ever hear no? If someone said, do you want to have Dolly team up with us? I don't know. I have to think about it. No, I don't think that would ever happen. When Dolly, like again, when Dolly says, you know, yes, I'll do it, you take Dolly doing it. You know, speaking of Alison Krauss, you mentioned Wagon Wheel. I heard that collaboration with Alison almost didn't happen.
Oh, you mean?
That well, she wasn't going to do it, she was too busy.
That was the crazy thing. I forgot about that. She was very busy and her voice was not, she said, my voice is not in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm the allergies in Nashville are really bad. And she said, well, I'm not feeling too well. And anyway, so the next morning, so I'm thinking it's not going to happen. If it does, it'll be a long time. The next morning she calls and says, hey, can I get that track? I'm going to go in and sing this. I'm like, what? I am calling engineers. So, and I don't know how to send the track. I'm calling engineers and I can't get a hold of anybody. And Allison wants to go in and record your song. What are you supposed to do?
You find somebody. Yeah.
I did almost just unplugged all the computers in the studio and just carried them over there to her. But anyway, somebody finally woke up and said, hey, I can send it. Woo.
Isn't it amazing what 24 hours can do? You think something's dead and then you never give up hope. And then boom, you wake up and it's a new day and a whole new thing.
She worked on it. She worked on it for 2 days. I mean, she sings on almost every other line.
Yeah.
And so she worked on it for 2 days. It was unbelievable. It's like, I appreciate her so much. I grew up with Allison. You know, she used to play in my family's band. In 1985, I came to Nashville and played in the band of Jim Ed Brown. After being on the show, You Can Be a Star. It's kind of like the American Idol of country
music. And you won. I know you won that.
I won my day. Yes. But I went to work for Jim Ed, and my dad hired Allison, and she wore my clothes. Our hairstyle was the same. And I saw a picture the other day and I'm like, wait a minute, that's not me. That's Allison in there. So,
oh, it's like that single white female movie. There's a little bit of creeper there going on. Oh, I bet you don't let her forget that either, do you?
Well, she reminds me of that. I do videos. I did crazy videos making ham salad one day. And she texts me, I don't know, probably a month or so ago. She goes, oh my gosh. She says, I'm watching you make ham salad. She says, I remember back in the day, I was wondering what you were doing at your house. And she said, I would have loved to have known this. And I said, well, come over, I'll make you some ham salad here. You can watch me do it. Or you can help me make it next time.
Well, you know, you were on TV, but that wasn't your first time on TV from what I've I've heard, or not your last anyway. I also heard that you were famous for being on another show with Dick Clark in a bloopers TV show.
Oh, thank you for reminding me of that.
Yes. You're welcome.
I was on the Nashville Now show. It used to be the Nashville Network. And that was, you know what? That was my first ever like solo performance. So it was very important. I was in a dress.
Oh,
we
yeah.
did sound check. They say you're going to be sitting on a stool playing the guitar. We'll have the mic here. The beautiful drape curtain will open and your song will kick off and you will sing. Well, they didn't rehearse the curtain part.
Uh-oh.
We just rehearsed the song. So we're live to tape, thank goodness, because before that, 2 weeks before that, it was just live. There was no tape part.
Mm.
But so they say Rhonda Vincent, the curtain opens, cooks the boom mic stand. The mic starts raising up into the air, nearly hits me in the face. So I grab the microphone. I'm holding the guitar in a dress on a stool, holding the microphone in the air, and I start laughing. The band has kicked off the song.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The show must go on.
I just started laughing and I stopped singing. And I went over to the host and I said, can we start over? I know they're to tape now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and I don't know if I should even say this. I mean, they showed it on TV the week before. Pat Boone was on there and his toupee got hooked on something and came off. And that's why they started doing it. That's why they started doing the show live to tape, so they could take that stuff out.
Wow.
So when I said, can we start over? I thought the world would never see this. And uh-oh. Then when it played later that night, my most embarrassing moment was there on TV. And Dick Clark used to have a show, a blooper show.
Yes,
he picked that up and played it over and over and over. And I have to say that the royalty checks from that made that pain a little easier.
See, that's okay then. You know what? If you got to go through it, at least, a little cha-ching on the side doesn't hurt
yes.
anything. Yeah, it funds another project. But better the mic than your hair. Just think about it. That's a silver lining, at least. Thank goodness it wasn't like you weren't wearing a wig or anything. And oops, poor Pat Boone.
You know what? With the hair extensions these days, that could happen.
Amen.
It's like, oh no.
Oh, your album, it's all about favorite destinations, fun places. So if you could pick any place in the world, maybe even in America, where would your favorite place be?
Well, I mean, obviously, my favorite place is probably in Nashville at the Grand Ole Opry. Mm. That was one of my greatest dreams come true when I became a member. I was invited February 28th of 2020, mm-hmm. which a very devastating thing was that my induction was supposed to be in March and it was canceled or it was postponed.
Oh, I was thinking that was right then. Yeah.
So history made. I waited longer than any person in the history of the Grand Ole Opry to be inducted. I waited 343 days.
Oh, and it probably felt like 5 billion.
Through 2020, yes. But you know what? There was still that hope in knowing I'm going to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry someday. So whenever it is, it's okay.
It's okay.
So I was inducted February 6th of 2021, and I was inducted by Dierks Bentley. Mm. And he said, it's important what song that you sing once you're inducted as an official member. And he and I sang, he invited me to sing a duet with him. And we sang the Merle Haggard song, Mama Tried. And that was my very first official Grand Ole Opry member song. And I got to sing it with Dierks Bentley. Aww. So that made it all the better.
See, it was worth the wait. It was worth it.
It was. And there's another historical moment because my brother Darren is a member of the group Daly and Vincent, and they are Opry members. And when I became a member, we are the very first ever brother and sister to hold separate Opry memberships.
Mm,
so
fun fact.
A lot of history around that.
That is very nice. And wow, you're breaking records and I mean, all over the place. And you're not even done yet. I mean, you're just starting and keeping in line with your album's theme of travel and destinations. You're touring the country coast to coast with many shows scheduled for the remainder of 2024 and going right into 2025. So what is next for you, though? I mean, you're always working, you're always recording, you're always doing something. So what's the next major thing for you?
I mean, I never know. It's that they kind of just like what God, you see what God has before you, and it's like, God, what is it? What is next? What is your will? You always hope that he gives you his will and that you accept that. Sometimes you try to do it on your own and it just doesn't work out so well. So once you say, Lord, what is your will for me? Mm-hmm. And he just always brings these amazing opportunities. And I'm so very thankful. I have other projects started. And, if you go to rhondavincent.com, I hope that you will join us at a show wherever we are. And I want to invite you to come be my guest at the Opry. Have you ever been there to the Grand Ole Opry?
I have not, but I would be honored to be there with you. Are you kidding me?
Please come in. Yes, please come be my guest.
I will bring a camera crew and we will do a beautiful behind the scenes story about you. I would love to follow up. Yes,
oh
of course.
God,
I've got chills. So I've got goosebumps right now. I would be honored.
I can't wait. We're doing Christmas shows too. I hope you'll come, you know, check out our Christmas shows and just come see us. You know, when you come see us, it's not just coming to a concert or a show. We sign, like I sign after the shows and we stay in touch online. You know, we have a very active social media. So beyond the shows, it's more of an experience. So yes, come be with us. Come be with us in Nashville and at the Grand Ole Opry.
I am going to, and we will be talking offline because I'm going to take you up on that. You can't dodge me now. I'm coming.
All right.
But everyone out there, please visit rondavincent.com. Check out her music, her tour dates, and so much more. It was a pleasure having you on the scene with Doreen today. You really are just such a light and it's just an inspiration. And please, you know, keep making great music and just doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Well, you did such a great job. All the history and all the research you've done. This is amazing. I love this.
Thank you. I had so much more. I wish I could keep you for like a whole anthology. We could have like a whole week special because there's so much about you. I mean, I'm going to have to do a part two with you because there are so many things I didn't get to, but I'm going
Anytime.
When I'm down there in Nashville, I'm getting to them.
Okay.
All right. Well, you take care. Thank you so much, Rhonda.
Thank you. Blessings to everyone.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stay right there, because after the break, we come back with Terry McBride of McBride and the Ride, the hit maker of so many songs that you already know. You don't want to miss this.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and do not have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you do not pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call. If you've been injured in an auto accident, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
This is radio.
Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I am your host and tour guide for the tour, Doreen Taylor. There are so many incredible stories, and we can't possibly get to all of them, but we are trying out this new segment on the show today where we highlight awesome talent and have it shine in the much-deserved spotlight. So the spotlight today on The Scene rocked the country world in the 90s and soared to the top of the charts with hits like Love on the Loose, Heart on the Run, Sacred Ground, and Going Out of My Mind. For the first time, McBride and the Ride is releasing live recordings of their hottest singles and most requested songs in honor of their 35th anniversary. Today on The Scene, I have the McBride in the McBride and the Ride, Terry McBride. Terry has written over a dozen major hits for Brooks and Dunn, Reba McEntire, Garth Brooks, Cody Johnson, Trace Adkins, and so many more. He toured with Brooks and Dunn through most of their biggest years playing bass and writing songs, and today he's here to chat with me. Welcome, Terry. What's going on?
Oh, wow, Doreen. That's a great buildup, and most of it's true. I like that.
Most of it. What was fictitious that you can point out?
No, it's all true. I love that. And I'm thrilled to be on the new segment. Thanks for having me.
You are our first. You are our inaugural spotlight guest artist. This is a new thing. We've been on the air now. This is like our 70-something show. And you are the first one. So congratulations.
Oh my gosh,
you can put that on the resume.
Hope I set the tone for future guests to come. So,
there you go. Well, Hall of Fame, you know, top 10 hit, But the inaugural spotlight scene with Doreen Guest, you know, that should be on the top of the resume, baby.
I like it. I'm adding it right now.
I do love your tune, No More Crying, that I played in the intro. That song really shot McBride and the Ride to stardom after it was featured in the 90s cult rodeo film, 8 Seconds.
Yeah, I like to joke, you know, we're in that movie, 8 Seconds, for about 6 seconds during.
Oh, man, they owe you two. They owe you 2 seconds. I hope they are in.
It was a blast. It was something we really wanted to do. We also had John Anderson recorded one of my songs for that soundtrack. So it was a huge thrill. And we got to hang out with Luke Perry all day, pretend like we were movie stars. You know, it was something I'm glad we took the time to do, because back then they had us busy. You know, we were doing a lot of touring in that during that period. So we forced them to take a little time off so we could be involved in that project.
Oh, how awesome. I mean, it's like a totally different world. I mean, entertainment is connected. Music's connected to this, to the arts and everything. But once you get onto a movie set, it's like a completely different beast. How was that for you? Because it's definitely different than being on stage.
Totally different. It was a little similar to these videos we were shooting back then, you know, these 16-hour days of trying to shoot these videos. And we were really just playing ourselves in the movie. We were supposed to be part of the National Finals Awards ceremony where Lane Frost gets the championship buckle. You know, that's kind of, and we're the band in the background. We're playing No More Crying, you know, promoting the song as well. But it was a thrill. It was just cool. You know, it was different from all the touring and traveling and bus and stuff that we were doing at the time. It was definitely a nice departure from what we had been doing.
I can imagine. And did you get one of those chairs with a big star on it with your name? I would have demanded that in my contract.
I got some cool stuff. I got some early promo stuff. In the beginning, the name of the working title was called 8 Seconds to Glory. Then they dropped the glory, but I have some of that early merch and stuff with all that still on it. I keep and collect a lot of stuff. I have a little studio where I keep everything that my wife doesn't want at our house. It's all here.
So you're like a hoarder's episode now. You probably got all that stuff overflowing outside. Yeah.
But very neat. I'm very very organized. So, oh, yeah. I have a little bit of that going on for sure. Even my refrigerator, everything's lined up just right.
Really, a little OCD. So you're organized. Chaos.
Just a little bit. You nailed it there for sure.
I think that's a new song you should write, Organized Chaos. Yeah, I think that's a great title. I think it's a good title. And I could definitely be a lot of inspiration for that one. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's what it takes. I need that, Dory. And I'm glad we had this talk. Need inspiration.
I just want my royalty check. I don't care about anything else.
I'll make sure I get your address correct.
You know, I want to say, I don't want to go off too much on tangents, which I will always do. But what I admire is the cut that I did play of that song. That was live. I mean, that was you guys live. That, you know how people don't understand how hard it is to sound that good live.
Well, thank you, first of all, Doreen. Well, you know, here's the thing about McBride and the Ride. It's not like a bunch of older guys that we had to dust off and get back on the road. Billy Thomas, our drummer, has been playing off and on with Vince Gill for the last 30 years. He's been singing on those early hits. He played on Marty Stewart's Hillbilly Rock album. He also tours and plays some with Amy Grant. An accomplished musician, also does sessions. Ray has a venue out in Scottsdale where we cut the live EP, Handlebar J. And Ray's been on all the Loud Love It records playing guitar. He plays nightly. And so everybody still has chops, you know, and we have a world-class session steel guitar player, Bruce Boughton, who's on the road with us, and fortunate to have him because he's played on every kind of hit record you can imagine over the years. So it's we all push each other, we all make each other play, and we set the level pretty high, and it's fun when we get together. It's a lot of good musicians. I have to practice a lot. I play bass and sing lead with McBride and the Ride, so it's a little challenging, but I like it. It's fun, and the band is, we take pride in the way we sound. So thank you again for making the comment about the way the tracks sound, because that's very important to us. You know, as a good player over the years, we still want to remain that way and want to be able to sing and pull off these songs live every time we take the stage, you know.
And boy, are you. You did allude that you are the front man for McBride and the Ride.
Right.
But perhaps I do want to mention, and I sort of alluded to it in the intro, your greatest talent happens behind the scenes. I mean, you're quite an incredible songwriter, penning hits for some of the biggest country stars.
Oh, well, I've had a good run. I'm still doing it. I'm sort of in the mentoring phase now where these younger guys want to hang out and talk about the 90s, you know, something they didn't really get to experience. But
oh, that's crazy. First of all, that's crazy to think of that they did not experience the 90s. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I need to go take my Geritol now and my Metamucil. But anyway.
Some of these kids are like early 20s, you know, and so it's wild. They have a lot of them have a lot of respect and certainly interested about what happened back then. But
I hope you're kicking their butts, teaching them the right way. These kids need to know.
I know some aren't as interested, and then some are just completely, respectful about it. And so It's different. I've written the last 2 days here in Nashville, and it was with a couple veteran writers, which was really fun. A young producer, which is really cool. Every day is kind of different. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thrilled I'm still getting to do all that all these years later, you know?
Yeah. You know, when I would write songs during my career in my past life, I always felt like they were my kids, you know, they were my children. And it was hard to give, it's hard to give them up to another artist to sing. Do you ever feel that way when you hand over one of your songs to another singer?
Well, no. Usually it's somebody I've been fortunate where a lot of the cuts that I have are artists that I look up to. I mean, whether it was Alan Jackson and, of course, Brooks and Dunn. Ronnie was one of my favorite singers before I ever met him. I knew Kix Brooks first. And then it wasn't until really we were nominated for New Group of the Year, 92. Mm. I think it was McBride and the Ride, Brooks and Dunn, and Diamond Rio. Mm. For the ACMs that year, and then CMA as well. Mm-hmm. And I met Ronnie, and he was really kind and complimentary and telling me what a fan he and his wife were of our music. And then later, when the band first time around disbanded, I started getting some cuts, John Anderson, George Strait, and then Brooks and Dunn. And then Ronnie invited me over and said, "Hey, listen, man, I'm getting off the band bus. I'm getting a bus. Why don't you come go with me?" And off we went. And that turned into 13 years of writing songs for Brooks and Dunn and just happened to be one of my favorite acts on the road. So I could bring something to the table because of that. You know, it's music that I understood, that I liked, a singer that I respected, and also his vocal range and stylings were kind of similar to the stuff that I like to sing. So
yeah, I just found that. Is it easier to write songs for yourself or for other artists?
Well, when you have an artist like that, who's also a great songwriter, it's such an advantage because he can sort of take the song exactly where it needs to go instead of me guessing where I think he needs to go, you know? Mm-hmm. Having the artist in the room that is also a writer, oh boy, it's a win-win. You know, if you've got a good idea, and what I would do on the road, Doreen, I would wait until he got off the stage. He's all keyed up. You know, they just played in front of 15,000 people, you know. And it's like, what is he going to do with all that energy? Well, he would pour it into a song if I had the right title and a right idea. And then about 4 o'clock in the morning, we would have written Cowgirls Don't Cry or something, you know, with
amazing
that we later sent on to Reba. We emailed it to Reba about 6 in the morning, and Reba emailed back and said, "I'm going to cut this song." And then Ronnie said, "No, I'm going to cut it." And then I said, "This is a damn good problem to have, you know?"
Yeah. And you know, also, I got to say, and I just got to give props where props are due, country music, especially in the time when you were writing for these artists, they had voices. They had real vocal chops. It's not like, I mean, I hate to throw shade on some of the ones today, but it's changed. It has changed. And I don't know if some of the singers today could sing some of the songs that you've written. They would have had to, quote unquote, dumb them down just to make them sellable. And you wrote songs for singers, and that is a very impressive thing.
Well, I understand exactly where you're coming from. I mean, back then, there were definitely some memorable vocalists because they're still around. A lot of them today are still some of the top ticket draws in the country are these acts from 30 years ago. So that alone says something, you know. And the music holds up, which we find when we go out on the road, even those 30-year-old songs, they still have a place in people's hearts and minds. And that's what makes it so special when we hit the road. But yeah, I was very fortunate to be with someone like that that I admired and just got to know. Then we got to become pals and, you know, best friends. And we did everything together, hunting trips, and fishing and racing cars together and whatever. You know, we had a lot of common interest and we just hit it off. It just was, you know, meant to be in a roundabout way. I ended up on the backside of my recording deal, but I ended up right in the top of Brooks and Dunn's career is it was just, you know, really, really at a high point. So I couldn't have had a better situation to segue into something and still be in the business, you know?
Absolutely. And isn't it nice to create with people you like? That people become family.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're not just people you work with, but these become your family. Yeah, and you have that connection for life.
They were very supportive of me. I mean, I was driving into town one day and we were getting ready to have a big old number one party, you know, at BMI.
Oh, yeah.
I think Play Something Country had gone number one. But I was thinking on the way in, not only is this an amazing, you know, moment as a songwriter, but getting to share it with people that I truly respect and admire and enjoy, you know, being with, and creatively my partners as well. That was really a special time when we'd have success with those guys because we were so tight. You know, we were on the road together, we were riding together, we were playing, having fun together. And so when you get to share those, you know, moments of success, it's really, really special.
Yes. And so sharing this moment with you today has been so special. I'm so sorry. It goes by so fast. I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, wow, this just flew. I know. I just want to ask because the dust is going to settle now. The new live album is out, available anywhere you can stream and buy music. Go to McBrideandTheRide.com. But once that dust settles, what's next for you? Because you're not slowing down. So what's next for you, Terry?
No, I hit the road, Doreen. And when I'm not traveling with the band, I'm fortunate to be able to go to Texas and Indiana and Illinois. I just came back from Baltimore doing a singer-songwriter solo show.
Ooh, awesome.
So that's the other side of what I get to do. I get to do, you know, everything I've written for either McBride or Ride Brooks, have done whatever I want, new things that I'm working on. And I am working on a new sort of a project called Tales from Texas. It's about my history time growing up in Texas, put to music. And so I'm kind of working on that as my next little project. But yeah, I'm always trying to keep moving and staying creative and productive, hopefully. And I want to thank you before I get off of here for having me on. And I've really enjoyed this on and off the air. So I hope we get to do this again sometime.
It was an absolute pleasure to have you. You're just a delight. You know, you talk to a lot of people and, you know, I do this all the time. And some people you just know are really good people. And you can kind of figure that out within 30 seconds. And I figured it out in three. With you. Well, I want to say 8 seconds, maybe 6 seconds. I figured it out with you.
Well, I'd have to say likewise. I've been doing this a long time and you just made me feel comfortable right from the get go. And that's a good feeling and a great way to get a conversation started. So,
absolutely.
I'm looking forward to us visiting, continuing this conversation on at some point.
Yes, I would love that. I will reach out to Scott and say thank you, obviously, for today. And we'll exchange info.
That's great.
I would love to see it. And, you know, we're so close to Baltimore. You were just here. So anytime, you know, we're outside of Philly. So, I mean, you know, anytime you're up this way, I would love to have you on again.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love to work my way back up the East Coast. It's been a long time. I'd played that venue a few years ago, but it was great to be back in that area, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And Terry McBride, McBrideandTheRide.com. I urge everyone to go out, get the new album. Like I said, you guys are killer live. And I want to see more and more and more from you. So thank you so much for being on the scene today and being our first spotlight guest.
Oh, I love that.
I'm the first.
Oh, my goodness. Doreen, it's something we'll share forever.
We will. And I'm sure we'll be sharing more in the future. But thank you again for everything.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you to my guest today, Terry McBride of McBride and the Ride, and the bluegrass queen, Rhonda Vincent. And thank you again for tuning in to The Scene with Doreen. I'm here each week across the country bringing you the best interviews from the entertainment world and beyond. Get connected with me on social media and on our official website, The Scene with Doreen. And make sure to tune in next week so you can find out what's going on. Bye!